KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, I already started off bad. Welcome to ABQ Connect. It's Friday. Wipe your brow and say, thank you, Lord. ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services. Heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration. Call 444-7200. That's 444-7200. Or go to HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Carlos and your team, thank you for your support of KLYT Radio and ABQ Connect. Dr. Brian Nixon, our good friend, co-worker with us here at Calvary Church and our radio station in studio. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jim. And can I say how excited I am that we are now KLYT? You know, for years we were different call letters and now we're KLYT. And we were talking before the broadcast of how exciting it is that our reach is so much greater now throughout the state of New Mexico, even into southern Colorado. And so for those who may be listening in Las Cruces, those who may be listening in southern Colorado, we welcome you. It truly is a blessing to have people beyond our little region of Albuquerque to be tuning in. So thank you for listening if you're there.
And I really hope we're going to make a transition from ABQ Connect, which connotates Albuquerque, to NM Connect.
That's right.
New Mexico Connect, because we are really a family in New Mexico. We're all fighting for life and liberty and faith in Jesus throughout the state of New Mexico. And there's so many different flavors of things, Brian. You are in charge of overseeing education and publishing, so you're editing and writing. We're going to talk about your book in the second 15 minutes we have together today. We're going to be together with you till 1:30. So let's start by talking about the new Calvary Elementary School, K-2.
Yeah, we're really excited that about 3 months ago, it was determined through a course of things that were going on in our state and region where we said, well, let's go ahead and start an elementary school. Let's throw it out there to see how many people are interested. So we had an information meeting and we had a lot of people show up. But when the rubber meets the road, it's like, okay, if you're really that interested, put in your application and let's see who's really interested. And we had enough for our early education K-2 to really make a push for it. But that doesn't mean necessarily, Jim, if we had 12 fifth graders that applied, we would also offer a fifth grade class. If we had 12 third graders apply, we would offer third graders. So we're very much open. Numbers will dictate if we can afford those classes or not. But we're very, very, very pleased that Calvary Church, you know, Elementary is going to be starting. And it's part of our larger educational push here at Calvary. You know, we have preschool. We have a very successful preschool program. We were just accredited by ACSI. Mm-hmm. We have a great college program, Calvary College, mm-hmm. Which is successful. I touched base with our registrar, Catherine, today. And, you know, we're pushing 50 students right now. And we're really excited about that. And then now with Calvary Elementary, it's just another addition to our educational offerings here at Calvary Church. And what a blessing it is to be able to offer these to our community.
Brian, you're talking with parents about what they need, what they want in education for their children. So you mentioned our audience in Las Cruces. They're not going to be able to come up here to Albuquerque to go mm-hmm. to Calvary Elementary, but what should they be looking for as parents in the educational opportunities afforded them in Las Cruces?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, when you're looking at Christian education, you know, we have to use Jesus as our model. And Jesus gives us a clear direction in Luke chapter 2. It's the only place in all of Scripture where we find Jesus as a student. Every other time we find Jesus, he's a teacher. But we do find one place in the Bible where Jesus was a student. And I don't think it's coincidence that that's there. I think obviously it tells us a little bit about who Jesus is, you know, as God's son. But I also think it gives us insight into how we are to teach children. And there we learn that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. And that's found in Luke 2:52. And so using those four pillars, wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man, we construct what's called a paideia form of education, and that's a whole child form. Paideia is the word that the Apostle Paul uses. He uses it in Ephesians 5. The book of Hebrews uses it. But basically, paideia is the understanding that you're training a student for a full enculturation into a life. And that encompasses all, the whole child, not just their head, mm-hmm. which a lot of schools, that's all they're concerned about is, you know, just head knowledge. Some Christian schools, it's just about heart. It's just about doing good and that, and that's good. But it's also about your body, you know, and physical activity. It's also about your social interaction, how you interact with each other and the world at large. So I think paideia, Christian paideia, is the biblical framework that the Bible would support the most, at least particularly Jesus. And so that's what we're following. We're following a Christ-based paideia form of education. So that's different than, let's say, what they would share in public education. That's even different than what they would share in some private schools. So it's a distinct flavor, if you will, that we're going to be offering here in Albuquerque. But I think the people down in Las Cruces or up in northern New Mexico or wherever you're listening, find a holistic, a whole child approach, and you will be blessed.
I can see a stark contrast between, say, public education, which really doesn't address anything about the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of concerned with academics and maybe athletics,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a little bit of art, although that's been waning because of budget problems
right.
and everything else. And you would argue that that's really essential. And
in fact,
our second half of our show is going to be talking about beauty and art and culture and your new book. So, Brian, I appreciate all that you're saying about the new Calvary Elementary School. Mm-hmm. How do people find out more information?
Well, the best way right now, because it's so new and we really are progressing, adding things as we progress, you still have to go to the preschool website, which is calvarychurchpreschool.com. That's calvarychurchpreschool.com. And there you will find on the front page four links. It has our handbook, it has our applications, and it gives us a little bit more about the school. Soon, within the next week or so, we hope to have at least a landing page for the elementary school. But because, as I said, this was so late of development in the school year, we're just really, truly just playing catch up. But we are pleased to announce we did hire our principal. Our principal, I won't say her name just yet because she starts officially on the 21st, but she comes with about 30 years of Christian education experience. She's a longtime attendee of Calvary. She has her master's degree, and she's a really solid, solid educator and a fine Christian woman. So we're really pleased to hire her. And then when she starts, you know, officially on the 21st, we're going to announce and let people know about her and more about our vision, more about what a paideia biblical education looks like. But again, you know, going back to that point, Jim, of what families should be looking for is a holistic education, making sure a school pays attention to all aspects of a child's growth, because nothing less is a truncated education. And as you pointed out, in public schools, they can't do the spiritual. They usually, when they say whole child, well, public schools would argue that they do whole child. And to a little bit of extent they do, but they would replace the spiritual with emotional. Mm-hmm. So we care for them emotionally. But we know in a biblical context, the true full or biblical education incorporates a Christian ethic, a Christian worldview. So I would look for the full four pillars of education.
We're in studio with Dr. Brian Nixon. He oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church. We're going to be back and talk just a little bit more about Calvary Elementary School and all of the educational opportunities, including you can go right online and get notes from all of Pastor Skip's sermons to mm-hmm. different books that Brian helps to edit and publish for Skip Heitzig. So there's a lot of opportunities available. They're available worldwide, not just in New Mexico or in Albuquerque. And Brian, I'm excited to talk to you about your new book. So we'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
So, New Mexico, ready to get together again? Want to see the church in full celebration mode? Well, I have good news for you. Freedom Celebration is back, and we're ready to roll Friday, July 2nd with Phil Wickham.
This is Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's not all. It'll be quite a night, because you'll also be singing Under the Stars with Passion Worship.
Oh, no.
It's a Freedom Celebration, 7 p.m., Friday, July 2nd, on the Calvary campus. With Phil Wickham, Passion, and Andrew Ripp. Food trucks and a full fireworks display. And, of course, it's free. It's about time to celebrate our freedom. FreedomABQ.org.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. After her husband died, Naomi and her three young children moved in with her parents in a majority Christian community in Nigeria's northeastern Borno state. But soon, Boko Haram, a violent Islamist organization, began waging an insurgency across the region. While working on her farmland outside the city, Naomi heard distant gunfire. She immediately started running toward town, but was caught by Boko Haram fighters. They threatened to kill her if she didn't renounce her Christian faith. Naomi pleaded with them, telling them she was a widow with children. The group's leader took pity on her and let her go. Praise God for his miraculous protection.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
A Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Faith can make the difference between something happening and not happening. We think of blind Bartimaeus, who heard that Jesus was coming his direction. So he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And someone said, "Shh, don't bother Jesus." And he yelled even louder, "Jesus, Son of David," he cries out, "have mercy on me." And Jesus touches and heals Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was the squeaky wheel, wasn't he? And so you see him working in the lives of people that called out to him and applied their faith. Because again, faith can make the difference between something happening and not happening.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Or on the web, indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Dr. Brian Nixon, he oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church. And before we go to your book, Brian, I want to ask you one more time. In addition to Calvary Elementary, Calvary College, there's all kinds of other educational opportunities available.
Yeah, primarily through the web ministry, where you mentioned before break, we have a tremendous teaching library by Pastor Skip. If you just go to calvarychurchnm.com, you will find, I mean, literally 30 years of teaching on any topic, any subject there. And not only do you get the audio teachings, you get outlines, you get summaries. There's lots of different resources. And then, of course, through the publishing ministry of Pastor Skip, we have many books and booklets. We're always working on something new. But one of the ones, of course, the last few years that really stands out, and we've gotten tremendous response, particularly from biblical education, is the Bible from 30,000 Feet. That is a legacy product, and I think so many people would be blessed by picking that book up and learning more of about the Bible. And I can't tell you a better book that gives a summary in a great informative format is that book.
Bren, we've joked around on past shows that your wife has to put up with you going up to look at the art galleries in Santa
That's
Fe.
That's right.
Probably more than anyone else.
There's
in New Mexico.
A lot, yes. And I probably go to a museum or some gallery once a week, right?
Well, and I know that she probably enjoys that as much as you do. But Brian, I mention that because you notice beauty. And beauty is important to you because not only do you see Christ in culture, as you wrote in your book, Tilt, and we've talked about that on the show, but you believe that beauty actually reveals God, and you've written a brand new book. It's called Beauty and the Banana. Tell mm-hmm. us about that.
Well, Beauty and the Banana was written primarily for the classes I'll be teaching at Calvary College in Veritas. And it is a book that is an introductory book into what beauty is theologically and philosophically. And I tried to do it, though it's an academic book, I tried to do it so I think a lay person could understand. I introduce a lot of names and ideas and concepts, but there's footnotes, and I try to define all the terms. So I think it's a book that anyone who's interested in philosophy or theology would appreciate. All my students that will be taking the class at Calvary College will be required to, you know, to read it and to get it. But it really is introducing the concept of beauty. Now, in the book, I don't tell you how to decorate your front room or what picture to pick that you like, because there's really an objective side to beauty and there is a subjective side of beauty. And I address both in the book. But the book really addresses more or less the theological and philosophical aspects of beauty.
Why is it important for you to get us to notice beauty and to even look?
Yeah, it's very, very important because it's an attribute of God. And if you miss beauty, you miss an aspect of who God is. So let's use it as an analogy with you, Jim. You and I both know you're a big basketball fanatic. And if someone really wants to know Jim, you're going to have to say, hey, I played for UNM Lobos. I coached basketball. I love basketball. I have a history with it. So if I want to know truly Jim on a better, more intimate way, I need to know that that's an aspect of who you are, basketball. Mm-hmm. Same thing with beauty. If we really want to know God deeper, we want to know attributes, things of his character, and beauty is an attribute of God.
I don't know if I can ask this question with an intellectual view that I want to communicate, but we're missing a lot of beauty because we don't even take the time to consider it.
Correct. Yeah, and I think a lot of times we misunderstand it. So beauty to a lot of people is just in the eye of the beholder. Well, people dismiss beauty because they think it's purely subjective. They'll say beauty is just, your vision of beauty is different from mine, and therefore beauty, really, it's subjective, and it we shouldn't be talking about. Some people view it like politics. You know, you keep your opinion on, you know, politics and beauty and religion, and I'll keep it on mine. But that's true. There's a subjective side to beauty, but there's definitely an objective side to beauty. And so we need to address that objective side. We need to at least understand what I call in the book, the fundamental factors of beauty, in order for us to truly appreciate the full orbed nature of what beauty entails.
But enjoying beauty, and this is not on my list of questions, not enjoying beauty is almost symptomatic of maybe a workaholic or somebody that's too focused and, you know, too overtaken by some task. I even think there's people involved in ministry that are so overburdened with what they're doing, it's like they miss that aspect of observing God.
Yeah, and I would argue that most people do appreciate beauty. They may not know that they're appreciating beauty. Let's take it for your average, let's call it middle-class, hardworking fellow who loves cars. And cars are one of his passion points. And he sees a car and he could tell you just by the headlights what year it is and what make. All of that has roots in beauty. And so he may not really understand the fundamental factors of beauty, but he understands that he's experiencing something that is pleasing to him and moves him. And so beauty is found in all places. Maybe someone who hikes in the mountains and they're overlooking, you know, a pine forest or a lake scene, or they're on the ocean and they see it. They are experiencing something that is in pleasing them immensely. And all of that is beauty. Again, they may not understand the fundamental factors of beauty, which, by the way, are ontology, teleology, and immutability. But those three factors help us grasp or understand what the fundamental factors of beauty is.
Explain some of those terms.
So ontology is being. Why is there something rather than nothing? And it's connected to God's goodness. The fact that God created something. So the fact Genesis 1 is one of the greatest demarcations of beauty. In the beginning, God created and it was good. So God's goodness is connected to his beauty because he created something. There's something rather than nothing. So that's ontology. Teleology is the form of something. But not only that, in my book, I'd argue that it's not just the form itself, but it's our understanding of that form. And that's where subjective could come in. Right before me, Jim, I have this phone. And I look at this phone and I go, well, it has a form. And it may be pleasing to you or it may not be. And it may be pleasing to me or not. So it, yes, it has a form, but it's also my understanding of the form that, you know, helps me understand at least subjectively beauty. And then immutability is probably the hardest of the three, but that's the eternality of beauty. It's transcendence. That's what it connects back to God. The fact that God is beautiful. Therefore he's created beautiful things primarily through being, the fact that there is something rather than nothing. But being ontology is really the crux of so many things because there's something rather than nothing. And that something, from a Christian standpoint, is created from God.
We spend a lot of time in our lives talking about things that are not. In other words, I'm going to call that complaining rather than talking about
right.
what things are.
Right.
Tell us about beauty and the banana
okay.
and the picture
yep.
on the cover.
Yep. Okay. And this is for those who are artistically inclined. So a few years ago at Basel, Miami, it's a huge art opening that's very, very world renowned. An Italian artist, Mario Catalan, taped a banana to the wall. And it was the headline for this art. And literally, he just taped an old rotting banana to the wall. And people were surprised when that banana taped to the wall sold for $150,000, four times over. And then another artist, performance artist, David DeTuna, came and he peeled it off and he ate the banana. Well, Mario was not spurned by that. He just took another banana and taped it to the wall. People were lining up literally. Lining up around the block to take a picture next to this banana. It was so popular that they actually had to take the exhibit down because people were just focusing in on the banana and not all the other art that was there. So, the comedian, which is what that artwork is called, that's the springboard upon which I use to discuss beauty. Because a lot of people would look at that and go, well, that's not beautiful. Anyone could do that. And I, in the book, argue, wait a minute, before you say that, let's walk through what beauty is historically, hermeneutically, the Bible, and then we'll talk about why that does have elements of beauty in it.
Brian, most of your educational oversight has to do, and you already gave us, it's a holistic approach
yep.
to education, but you are asking us primarily to do what I'll call use our brains. It's primarily academic
right,
when
right.
we talk about things. But you really are asking us now to use all of our senses simultaneously.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's what a true education person does. I mean, it's not just about our head. Education is not about our head. It's about, you know, the actions we do, you know, the compassion, the social interaction. It's about our bodies. I'm a big advocate, love sports. So I'm a big sporto guy as well. So it's a full orb. And again, that's not just me saying that. It's because Jesus modeled it for us. You know, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God and favor with man. The holistic person is found there, that Padea educational approach that I mentioned. So it is very important that we are using our whole person, our body, our emotions, our brains, you know, our social interaction, you know, talking about it, living, you know, living with other people, appreciating it and dialoguing and at times debating, hopefully with civility, but debating about certain things as well.
Where is the book available? Beauty in the Banana by Brian C. Nixon, forward by Joseph Holden. You know, Joe from, Veritas
President Veritas. Yep. Yeah. So probably the easiest way right now for people to get is off Amazon or Whiff and Stock, who's the publisher, their website, whiffandstock.com. That's the easiest place. I would say Parchments, but of course Parchments here at Calvary here in Albuquerque is now under construction. So it's not available at the bookstore here. So if you're going to pick it up, I would go to wifandstock.com. That's WIPFandstock.com. Or just go to Amazon, type up Beauty and the Banana, and you could get it. I think it's $19 or something of that nature now.
Very nice. And it's a good book. Let's go back to Calvary Elementary School. A lot of parents might be, their interest may be pricked today, just listening to you. The website, one more time, where they can
get more information. CalvaryChurchPreschool.com, and you will find the links to the handbook, the applications, and so on and so forth. But CalvaryPreschool.com, and as I pointed out in the first half, hopefully in the next week or two, we'll actually have a landing page on CalvaryChurchNM.com. So right now, because the school is so new, it's so fresh, we don't even have a website. So you have to go to CalvaryChurchPreschool.com and log on to get the application, the handbook, and everything else. Or you could, of course, come to the front office here at Calvary Church in Albuquerque, and they'll hand you an application as well.
And K through 2 is available right now.
K through 2 is available, and if you have upper grades, you know, we're not discouraging people to apply who have upper grades, but no, there is a chance that we may not be able to fulfill those classes because of numbers.
Brian, I think that there's probably church leaders in Las Cruces or Artesia or Alamogordo somewhere that are thinking, boy, how did Brian Nixon put together a school in such a short amount of time? Do you help other churches and things that might have the same interest?
Yeah, I've gotten throughout the years, you know, I've been in ministry now 30 years. And so I've been in Christian education since day one. So I've fielded calls about schools. I field calls about, you know, publishing, but really it comes down to how do you pull a school together in 8 weeks is just experience and a lot of prayer and a lot of perseverance. And honestly, you do have to, you know, let the parents know, ask for grace.
Yes.
Because, you know, there will be bumps when you do something so quickly at such a late start. But we're trusting the Lord through this, and we just think it will come to a wonderful fruition.
Love to see how God is guiding you through the creative process.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Brian, it's always a blessing to have you on. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jim.